B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a thought on what it was like to pull into Gillette Stadium for the first time as a member of the Patriots. And when I say the words New England Patriots, what it means to you.
Man, listen, you're constantly, I want to say disbelief at this particular point in time, man, but it's just a surreal moment. You know, guys, nobody really knows, you know, how excited I am, you know, just to be a part of this organization in many ways than one. Just following up such a powerful dynasty with that is enriched in so much prestige, lineage of success. That, you know, for me, a lot of people would hide from the notion to do certain things. But for me, man, I think this opportunity is something that I wake up pinching myself each and every day. And it's so surreal, you know, coming down one Patriot Place each and every day and, you know, seeing the whole ambiance. It's not only that, but seeing so much support around the city of Boston and Foxborough. And, you know, it's just such a great environment. You know, for not only myself, but, you know, players included. And, it's just crazy. I just found myself putting on, you know, shirts that's like, oh, my God. I don't know when that moment is going to be, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do while I'm a member of the Patriots so that, you know, sooner or later it will click that this is the norm.
Okay, Cam Newton again today. Meeting the Patriots media for the first time. It's hour number two of an agenda-free Friday here, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. It's Felger and Maz, brought to you by DraftKings. Mark the Beetle Bertrand in for Maz in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I'm in the A-hole chair from afar. I know we both read Ben Volen's column today in the Boston Globe, Beetle, about Tom Brady and his work ethic and his workouts down in Tampa, and if there's a message meant for... You know, it's beyond just Brady getting ready for the season. He wants the Patriots to know how hard he's working, and he's making sure that they know how hard that he's working. Do you think that do you think Ben's onto something with that?
Oh, I think the amount of social media and the showiness of Tom Brady's offseason and working with his new teammates to the point of pissing off the NFLPA for continuing to do the workouts in a hot spot when he was told not to do the workouts, I think it is all with a purpose, and that is that Tom Brady is always a guy who is driven by whoever has slighted him. And yes, I believe he does feel slighted by the Patriots, whether he chose to leave or they forced him out. He feels slighted by the end here. He's pissed off about it, and he wants to prove to the world that he can do it at this age, that he can do it without Bill Belichick. Yes, he is proving it, and he's trying to show it off to the world and show it to the Patriots what it is that he is doing right now.
Does it bother you as a Patriots fan that he lost that edge here the last couple of years?
A little bit. I can tell you the offseason was very different for him. I don't know where he found the time to fill up the bucket with all the stuff that he was doing with his new teammates. You know, I mean, as I said many times this spring, Felger, I feel for his family because he told us, you know, how important that was and how he'd, you know, these are not his words. These are my words. But he sort of indicated that his wife told him that he was sort of neglecting his duties on the home front, right? In that letter. That's what he told Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. Well, he's back to neglecting his wife and children again. And that's sad. That's a sad situation there.
Yeah, he told Strahan or Oprah. Kids up at hockey practice and all that. So those kids are just getting left there at the
rink. Can you imagine that? His poor kids and his poor wife. And now they're dealing with a bad husband and father. Now, I'm joking, obviously. Don't take that literally. But it's like, you know, that was all BS.
Of course.
You know, at the time, I was like, okay, you know what? He's older. This is what you get when you have older players. They got real life stuff. And if that's the price you pay to have Tom Brady as your quarterback, okay, I was willing to accept it. But now we learn a year later that it was all bullcrap. He just didn't want to do it. So, yes, it should piss you off.
What bothers me is that people didn't look at it in real time. You know, like I've been on Brady for years about the OTA business, and everyone circled the wagons around him. And now it's like...
And myself included. I don't shy away from that. Absolutely.
Don't you see? I mean, don't you see the difference? And what a better story, but what a better position you put yourself in when you handle it like that. Don't we want all of our players, never mind the quarterback, you know, to be putting in that kind of work and have that sort of obsession? That's just, I don't know, it's obvious. Volin wrote, following Brady from afar this offseason, it seems as if he has had a singular approach over the last 5 months. Football, all the time. Oh, how Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, and Jonathan Kraft must chuckle every time they see Brady sweating it out under the Florida sun. Oh, really, Tom? They must be saying, now you're all in on off-season practices again? Volin says that Brady's attitude this spring and summer is markedly different from what it was in 2018 and 19, his final 2 years in New England. Both springs, he was the only quarterback in the NFL to skip his team's voluntary off-season workouts. Ben says it was certainly his right to not attend those practices, but it was glaring that Brady, who for most of his career epitomized the first in, last to leave, chose to stay away. Now, more clearly than ever, says Volin, we see that it was about his discontent with the Patriots' leaders, Belichick, Kraft. Brady felt they didn't give him the respect he wanted and his contract and his standing on the team. When Brady skipped workouts last offseason, coming off another Super Bowl win, it should have been a major red flag that 2019 would be his last season in Foxborough. So, do you agree with that?
I do, a little bit. I mean, I think... If you compare last offseason to this one, when you're talking about breaking into the park and getting thrown out of the park, and he's talking about last year when it was team organized stuff. This year there was no team organized stuff. And Brady was the guy who organized the team. I mean, that's a huge difference between last year and this year, but I don't know that it was a tell at the time that he was gone. That I don't totally agree with.
So, I mean, I think it was just one of the signs. I mean, heck, he didn't show up the last two off seasons. He puts his house on the market. He disassociates himself with his local charity. Like, when you just add it all up, it certainly pointed in a certain direction. That was still hard to believe, right? That was still hard to believe that he would divorce himself from this team to go to a place like Tampa. Like, that was just, no matter how many signs point us in that direction.
The clip we just played at the start of this segment was Cam Newton, who went all Joe DiMaggio on us, you know, thanking the good Lord for making me a Patriot. You know, I mean, I get that. You're now a New England Patriot, six-time Super Bowl champ, one of the best coaches in the history of the sport. The best coach in the history of the sport is now your coach. You know, there's history there. There's now some legacy there. Championships. You think Brady says that about being a Buccaneer? Like, wow, I'm so lucky to call myself a Buccaneer. Like I said, tweeted out the photo yesterday of Brady in front of that backdrop with Buccaneers logos, and he's wearing a Buccaneer sweatshirt. That is never going to look normal. That is always going to look weird. It's name it than the Rams jersey. It's gross. It's disgusting. All of it sucks.
Volin writes, every day Brady works with his new teammates, and I'll just say especially in the offseason before they got to camp, every day that he worked with his new teammates feels like a message being sent back to Belichick and the Krafts. I'm ready to work, and I'm not going anywhere. Ben says Brady is practicing like the old Brady again, eager as a pup to get on the field with his new teammates. He says reporters have been tipped off about the workouts that he had at that high school, ensuring that writers and TV stations all had footage of Brady and his teammates putting in hard work. Do you know something about that?
I just think that, listen, Tom Brady, you know, everyone thinks that Tom Brady is buttoned up and Tom Brady's the uber professional. Tom Brady, it is not beneath him to tell things to local members of the media. That's all I will say. That is not beneath him. He has talked more over the years than people would want to know or admit to or realize, however you want to phrase it.
So the tipping off.
Including some of the back and forth around the time of the Wickersham story.
Of course.
Okay. Go back and read the Globe story at the time. Remember the Globe story?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there could have been a little something there.
Of course, sir. There's the whole back and forth. I mean, there's a back and forth, and it goes on off the record, and we know what writers are in the team camp and what writers are in the Brady camp, Casper. And, you know, it's like you know, which is great. Like, thank God. So, I mean, I think we got their perspectives through the various reporting. And yeah, of course Brady did that. Of course Bill does that. Like, people think, like, the Patriots fans said, Bill doesn't talk to the media, he doesn't care about the media. Oh, you're just so freaking wrong. So wrong. Anyway, Volans says that Brady seems to have found his sense of urgency again, and he sure seems to want Belichick, Kraft, and Kraft to know it. He keeps throwing in Jonathan Kraft in this, which doesn't always happen, which I just find interesting. Does he know something specifically?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, he's made very clear to put Jonathan in that grouping. But that's what makes this year so great. They all have something to prove, and let's see who proves it. Let's go back to your phones. You're on Agenda Free Friday. Everything being on the table as usual. Is it Martell in Tingsboro? Go ahead, Martell.
Michael, according to Football Focus, last season Julian Edelman had his worst grade since 2012. He had 10 drops and averaged only 3 yards after the catch, riddled with injuries, and is now a year older at 34. Tell me why, as a Patriots fan, I should have confidence in him this season.
I don't know if you should. I mean, well, for the obvious things that he's incredibly tough, incredibly hardworking, cares a great deal. If you see the videos of him, he looks like he's in tremendous shape. Like, those are things to believe in. But if you look at the history of that player at that position, this is about the time it's Wayne Krabet, Wes Welker, I mean, you name it. Like, those guys get beat to a pulp, and he's, you know, on the verge of being in that phase of his career. So if you're not confident in him, I don't blame you. I'm not confident that he makes it through healthy people.
I'm sorry, but we're going to do it based on what the Pro Football Focus stat is. I mean, he may have had 10 drops, but he had 100 catches. You know, he had 100 catches, and he was playing on a team with not much else. So it's harder to get open. It's harder to not have a second defender near you. I mean, I'm not going to say that he had a bad year last year, but I do agree with the point that when you hit 34, for most guys, it's pretty much over.
Well, yeah. Why am I saying that position? Any position.
Yeah.
I mean, other than quarterback, which is sort of, you can still be in your prime at 34.
I think the year that he had at 33 last year, when you factor in the age, was tremendous. It was a great year for him last year at 33 years old to go out and have 100 catches. Great. Fabulous. Love it. I'm not worried about Julian Edelman being a problem, but yeah, I would expect a drop off. There's going to be a drop off soon.
Well, those pictures were showing. He is tight.
Man, he's ripped, huh?
Oh, my God. He's, you know, as we know, he's
looks great.
Not afraid to do whatever it takes to get in the proper shape. So I'm not worried about that. It's just the age and the beating that he's taken. Cam and Taunton, give us a Celtics thought.
Big game tonight. Big game tonight. You got to show that you can do something against this Toronto team at full health. Because I know you went up there and beat them on Christmas, but Siakam didn't play. This is probably your second-round opponent. If you get past Philly in the first round, which is a big if now, is Toronto. You need to show something against this team. It's been this team's kryptonite, with or without Kawhi Leonard, for the entire Brad Stevens era. You need to beat this team tonight and show that you're capable of playing well against this team, which has given you fits for years.
Okay, Tim McBone is in our update studio. I think he agrees. You think it's a big night, McBone?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Nick Nurse is probably the best coach in the NBA, and I think just from a talent perspective, the Raptors and Celtics are probably pretty even. And, you know, I know you've won more than you've lost against the Raptors so far this year, but ultimately Cam's right, and that has been an issue throughout the Stevens era. So I think this is a big matchup for Stevens. Like, let's see what you got, and are you really that elite coach? I think he is, but this is a big matchup for him.
I mean, I think just like in a normal regular season, there are sort of statement games that don't mean anything for the standings or seedings really at the end of the day, but it's just sort of who are you against that team? And we have them in hockey and basketball. There's a half dozen of those in each league where, you know, it means something. And so maybe this is it. I know what happens in pre-pandemic times. I mean, I kept saying this about the Bruins. They had a great game against Tampa in March just before the pandemic that both teams laid it all out on the ice. It was one of those great back and forth, lots of fights, both trying to prove something to each other because they knew they'd be facing each other down the road. And the Bruins really cared about that one back the first week of March, but they didn't care about the one the other day, which is like puzzling to me, which is makes me worry about them. You know, they've lost some edge there along the way. But if this were a regular season game, the Celtics would look at the Raptors and say, this is a team we got to beat and we got to show. So I would hope they would say the exact same thing tonight. We've got more coming up. Mark the Beatle Bertrand in for Tony Maz. Oh, I promised this giveaway. Oh, listen to this. Beatle's a big memorabilia guy. So listen to this. And when I say we don't deserve it, we deserve to help the cause because this is going to help a good cause. But the Bruins have sucked so bad. And anyway, listen, here it is. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will score a Bruins team signed stick. So the whole team signing a stick, like usually these Bruins give away, or a puck and a hat or something. Anyway, Bruins fans, don't miss your chance to bid on exclusive items like a Marchand signed and framed jersey, Larry Bird autographed warm-up jacket, and more. This is all courtesy of the Boston Bruins Foundation. So those things you have to bid on. You bet on them now through 11 p.m. Sunday at BruinsAuction.org, all to benefit the Bruins Foundation. But the signed stick is a freebie, and it's yours right now to caller number 10. Well, how do you feel about that, Bill?
Yeah, I'm going to put the stick over the bar down in the basement.
Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. Back to your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Cam. There was an anonymous NFL coach who said that you can't be Superman anymore, and I related that to you being a vegan. What would your response be to those comments from the anonymous NFL coach?
I don't speak to anonymous people. I speak to real people. So if it's not all by a real name, then it's no need to give a answer. I'm going to give an anonymous answer, so it's relevant.
Okay, so that was frustrating to me a little bit. The Patriots gave us, meaning the media, a lot of time with Newton today. So there's 17, 18 questions. And so a guy asked him about an anonymous coach asking him about veganism? Is that what he said, right? Because he's a vegan?
Yes.
So it's like, why are we asking him about anonymous coaches and his freaking lettuce diet? Why not ask him about a real person who went on the record being critical, saying you're not going to be able to take Belichick's coaching? His former teammate, Kyle Love, was on record putting his name to it, saying he's been in New England, he's played with Cam Newton, and he wonders whether Cam can take the coaching in New England. Like, that was the question to ask Cam Newton, and that wasn't asked today, and that's frustrating to me. And I think it's a good question. I think it's an open question. I think that it's frankly, Beetle, why I would never sign Cam Newton to a long-term deal, because I don't think long-term Cam Newton is wired to be a Patriot. And part of that's not his fault. You know, first overall pick, Heisman Trophy, national champion. You know, I think there's a lot of guys like that, by the way. I don't think Peyton Manning would be a fit. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would be a fit. I think there's a lot of guys, just because of their background, couldn't hack it here or wouldn't want to take the coaching. And I think Newton's one of them. But for 1 year, he should be able to. For 1 year?
Well, he's trying to save his career. It's not just 1 year. It's not Aaron Rodgers in 1 year. It's Cam Newton who's, again, on the trash heap this past offseason. Nobody really wanted him. And the deal he got stinks. It's incentive laden. It's not a great deal. So nobody wanted the guy. He's in a different position than most of these other one-time guys, right? He sort of, it may have already happened for him. But you mentioned all those things, national champion and first overall pick and all that. Has he had his reality check yet? Was the offseason his reality check?
It should have been.
Of where he's at? It very well may have been. But if the Patriots start entertaining him long term, then I think that means something. I think it means that he's proved that he can do it. He can take the coaching. He can be a
The Pats have taken the cheese on that. You know, the guys that they're credited with, you know, successful rehabs like Corey Dillon,
right?
Randy Moss.
It has a shelf life.
Well, the second contract's when they got in trouble. When they paid Corey Dillon, he reverted. When they got Moss on his second contract, he reverted. And it's like, that's these are one year. Sort
all right, but Cam Newton's issues in Carolina were not the issues that Corey Dillon and Randy Moss had in other places. Like, those guys are sort of jackasses. And Cam Newton's not, to the best of our knowledge, has not been any sort of outward jackass to his teammates or his coaches.
No, he hasn't. So he has a different – well, I mean, but it's all file under is he the right fit for the way Bill wants to coach. So, right, everyone has different issues, but
– well, he had a coaching staff in Carolina that was apparently afraid to address him after a game because they thought he was too sensitive. That's not going to happen here. Like, you're either going to sink or swim, dude. It's up to him.
How do you think Cam Newton carried himself when things went bad for him in that Super Bowl?
Oh, poorly. Incredibly poorly. after that. That press conference after that game was embarrassing because he couldn't stand up to it and he couldn't answer for it. And he couldn't even defend himself. I thought the whole thing was terrible at the time. I still feel that way about it.
But is that an indication of how he will react in adverse situations or tough situations or when it's put to him? You know, is that a little glimpse into how he handles it when it gets hot?
Yes, very well could be. But I also will say, you know what? Now he's in his 30s. He's not in his 20s anymore. And that was 5 years ago. Sometimes people grow up a little bit. They mature. They're able to handle it better.
Well, this is true.
You know, we'll find out. You have the opportunity to grow. You have the opportunity to change. People can do that. They can grow up. And that was, I hope that's not what we get here because it's going to end quickly and poorly for him.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised. Eric in Mansfield on Brady and that conversation we were having last segment. I think I just jammed up here, Jimmy. He's on line three. Eric in Mansfield, go ahead. Eric.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
So I was looking back at what you were just saying with Cam Newton and the sensitivity and what you guys were saying yesterday, you and Maz, about him, what Bill treated him with the same gloves that he treated with Brady and everything else. At least he's the head coach that will actually I don't think he's going to treat him like Brady in his early years, like he's a rookie, and he's not going to just jump out and treat him like Brady in the later years and just slamming him like he did. But
okay,
let
me stop you and ask Beetle. Is Bill
there's a
change,
point there. There's
is
a,
Bill going to change his approach for Cam Newton?
Yes. He will be different this year with Cam Newton than he was last year with Tom Brady. It'll be different, and I also think that the way Bill and Tom probably interacted the last 2 or 3 years was different than the way they interacted the first 2 or 3 years they were together, 17, 18 years ago. There's probably a difference there in how things went. My guess is, and this is my assumption and my sort of prediction on this, Bill will treat Cam Newton differently. Bill is invested in Cam Newton. He wants Cam Newton to succeed. He is going to bend for Cam Newton, as will Josh McDaniels.
Okay,
they've got to know. I mean, we look at Belichick and we view him as this sort of robot. He understands what he got in terms of the high profile player coming in. He knows what that's like. He knows that it could be a little different than for Cam Newton than what he's used to.
Isn't that frustrating then?
Well, how so?
If he's willing to bend for Cam Newton, but you've got the greatest quarterback of all time in your program and you're not willing to bend at all for him.
Oh, listen, McCone, you're never going to find someone who wanted to keep Tom Brady here to continue to keep playing here more than me. So, yeah, I can sort of see that. Yes, there should have been a way to make that work with Brady and still have him here. I agree.
So, McCone hits on it exactly. We talked about this a lot yesterday with Marshall Hook, and that is, you know, Brady just didn't like the conditions, but Bill's going to make the conditions nice for Cam Newton, which leads to, again, if you're a Brady guy, you say, oh, well, you're willing to do what it takes to make the quarterback comfortable because that's what's best for the team. Interesting. Where was that the last couple of years? Is that why you're so bitter there, McBone?
Yes, absolutely. We give him so much credit for on the field. I wrote this in the email before the show because he always beats those teams that we do what we do. This is how we run things. And he's always able to adapt on the field. Off the field, you got to be able to adapt too. You can't just do what we do off the field. Yeah, Brady's matured, but you got to have to change your ways a little bit too to make it work. And if you've got the greatest quarterback of all time, who you go to the Super Bowl with literally every other year for 20 years, figure out a way to make it work.
You know what? I don't really agree with you guys. No one's bigger than the team. I'm into that, especially when the team is Bill Belichick and the Patriots. You know, if I got some bozo coach, then fine. The quarterback can be bigger than the coach in the program. But this one's too good. Bill's too good. And you know what? He's not a coddler. He's not good at it. It doesn't come naturally.
That's fine, but they're worse at the best position on the field this year than they were a year ago.
Yeah, but they should be better off long term. Because I don't think Brady was willing to take the coaching anymore, and that wasn't working either. You can't have a starting quarterback that doesn't show up in the offseason. That's just dysfunctional. So, you know, I don't blame them for moving on. I don't. And I don't want – Bill has to, of course, adapt a little bit. Like, obviously. I'm not that silly. But I just don't think coddling comes naturally to him, and there's going to be a limit to it. And if Cam Newton needs his ass kissed, he's in the wrong place, and it ain't going to work.
You think Cam Newton's going to get fined for anything this year?
Oh, telling his coach to go bleep himself on the sidelines in Buffalo?
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope so.
that wasn't my question. Do you think it will happen? Yes or no?
Yes. No.
Yes, the answer is no.
Yes, it
would have happened with Brady. Maybe it did happen with Brady. Maybe. I don't know. We maybe disagree on the dollar amount there, Jay Stu, but maybe it did. I don't think it will happen with Cam Newton because that threshold is going to be higher. There's a higher level of acceptance right now. That's what I believe.
Are we sure about that? How's Cam Newton's social media been since he got here?
It has quieted down a little bit.
I wonder how that happened.
Exactly.
He's been busy getting ready for the season.
Oh, stop with that. They grabbed the phone.
Boo-hoo Newton crew. That's what I'm in.
They should have done a long time ago.
Should be a t-shirt.
To me, there is a what's the phrase I'm looking for? To me, there's a non-negotiable thing with Bill, and that is coach insubordination. You know, when Randy Moss got insubordinate, they traded him that week. When Michael Bennett was insubordinate, they traded him mid-season. I don't think Bill accepts insubordination to him, and he takes his staff as a extension of that. Might have even cost you a Super Bowl. Maybe a story for another day, but
Didn't he take that to a degree with Brady and Gronk? Didn't Brady and Gronk answer to ownership and not Bill?
And maybe that's why the whole thing did, you know, one of the reasons it deteriorated. I don't think Bill accepts insubordination to him or his staff. And so if Cam Newton mother bleeps Josh like Brady did in Buffalo, Newton's going to get hit. Maybe it's a little less money, but he's going to get hit. Trust me on that. Here's an update from Tim McCone. More your calls and thoughts here on Agenda Free Friday with Beetle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Lightning get the game-winning goal from Tyler Johnson at the 18:33 mark of the third period, snapping a 2-2 tie. The Bruins thus far are 0-2 in round-robin action. Up next will be their last game of the round robin against the Washington Capitals on Sunday. Your final today, Lightning 3 and the Bruins 2.
Well, it's Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table. What's your level of concern with the Boston Bruins? Mine's high. Nick and Needham, what's yours? What do you got?
First off, I just want to say it's pretty cool to see Felger and Bertrand together at once. I think it's a pretty cool tandem. But I just want to ask about the Bruins. I mean, I've noticed lately, as a lot of you guys have, they just seem a little lethargic to me, especially on defense. Do you see this as like a temporary lapse in intensity, or do you see them picking it up and, you know, moving forward with more intensity going into the latter part of the season?
I'm concerned. I'm concerned this is what it is. I'm concerned that somehow, and to me it's like a big picture thing, they had just this great edge all season long, great focus. They had such a good regular season where I felt they were motivated and, again, focused and all that. And they barely had any dips that lasted more than two or three games in the regular season. They only had one or two of those. I mean, they were just a driven, consistent team all season long, and they've been nothing like that upon their return. Nothing. They've almost never put their opponent on their heels. Only a few times, maybe in this last game, a few. But other than that, they've been chasing the play the entire time when it was just the opposite for most of the year. And so I don't know what happened. And if they're playing possum and they're doing it intentionally, I think that's dangerous. I don't think they're good enough to say we're just going to show up and we want to show up. I don't think they're that kind of team. And so if I had to bet, I don't love their chances. I'm selling on the Boston Bruins at this juncture, Peter.
What's your biggest disappointment specifically in this team since they've come back?
Well, I think he made a good point. The defense has been, I mean, with so many of their goals and the chances they've given up is just the opponents getting in behind them with sort of bad line changes too. But, you know, guys pinching up or losing coverage. Again, the game winner, there were two guys in to collect that rebound. There were two guys in behind the Bruins defense for that game-winning goal. On the one that made it 2-0, the power play goal that went in off the guy's skate. I can't remember who it was. Go back and look at it. There's not anyone within 10 feet of them. They weren't covering them. And, like, that's just a staple of this team. So, to me, I don't know, focus, just showing up. Age, Beetle. I mean, I think Chara looks glacial, even worse than usual. Is the with the layoff bad for him? Was it bad for Bergeron? Because he hasn't really shown up in these games either.
He was better in the second game, but me, that's where I sort of begin and end. Their top line has to be better, okay? And Pastrnak has plenty to prove after screwing around coming back here, whether it's the North End or going to the rink up on the North Shore. Idiot, what are you doing? And that line, to me, needs to be way more productive than they've been. They were wretched against Philadelphia. They sucked in that game. They were better in the second game. But if I'm looking at their next game on Sunday, those guys need to show up. That top line for them needs to be consistently productive. They can't come back and suck. I'm sorry. You're dead if that's what happens.
Okay, I agree. And it's an overall team mindset. You know, I feel like they lost it in that layoff. Back to your phones here on everything. Let's go to, Jordan in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you think Bill will somehow take advantage of all the cap space that's given back from opt-outs and try to maybe do like a in-season restructure, an extension to save on future deals he knows he already wants to do, like a Gilmore or a J.C. Jackson or like an O-lineman or something? I know they can't do it with Tooney, but I just feel like there's a real chance for him to move money forward there and save in the future.
Yeah, well, Mike, I think you hit on it. All the savings is going to come in the future. I don't think they're going to spend this year. I think there's a real money component to this year as well, Beetle. Every business I know of has cut and cut payroll and cut salary and saved expenses.
Yep.
And maybe this whole wave of opt-outs was part of their cost-cutting measures. And I don't think they're spending on 2020. If
right.
they get back and spend in 2021, you know, take that.
The players in the NFL did not have to take a cut in terms of what they're going to make the way, let's say, Major League Baseball players did. Even though the revenues will be down significantly in the NFL, the guys who are showing up and playing the games are still going to get paid for playing the games. The one guy on that list, though, that I would consider doing, because this is, to me, a very safe bet and something they should look to be doing, is Gilmore. Gilmore, yeah. I'd look at, and I would lock him up, and I would get that next deal. The conversation on that next deal started. I'd have no issue with that.
Kenny in Norton on Cam Newton. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing, Felger? Listen, what happens when what does Belichick do when Cam Newton goes 12-4 to the AFC Championship? Does he sign him next year? Does he tag him? Does he sign him for a 3-year extension? If they get Stid the kid, what does he do?
Sure. Okay, so if I were them, I'd let him go. I'd tag to trade him, but I would not invest long-term because I don't think it's a long-term fit. And I wouldn't take the cheese on a year. I mean, you thought Randy Moss or Corey Dillon or these guys after 1 year were, they were perfect. And then no. And then they sort of went in the other direction. And so you can't take the cheese like, you know, and at the time I made the mistake too. I'm like, yeah, sign Revis. You got to bring Revis back. They were right. I think that maybe they learned their lesson there, that the one-year guys should be one-year guys. And when you go longer, you know, that's when you run into trouble. And I would say that on Newton. Look, Beetle, if Newton totally buys in and it works perfectly in the room and on the field, and he's willing to take a pay cut, because that's going to have to come too. I mean, they asked Brady to take below market all those years. They're not going to pay Cam Newton $30 million a year. He's going to have to take a little less than he would get on the open market. And that'll be the tell. You know, if he's willing to do that, and you combine it with everything going right on the field and off, all right, I get it. I mean,
but wait, 12-4 and then what? You got to finish that thought. 12-4 is 12-4. Is it 12-4 and you lose in the, you know, divisional round? Well, then it doesn't matter. 12-4, who cares? Is it 12-4 and you win the Super Bowl? That's something different. You brought up something earlier, though, about the credit that will be doled out if this year is successful for Cam Newton. Will Cam Newton get it or will Bill Belichick get it? I think Bill will get a lot of the credit. It'll be shared. But I also think that because of that, if Cam Newton is to go out in the market, he's going to have that against him. Yeah. That's going to be working against Cam Newton. Oh, he was great last year, but
he
was
a product of Belichick.
Yeah, you're a product of Belichick and McDaniels and that good coaching and the good system in New England. Yeah, we're not paying you $30 million either. I don't think there is a team that will pay him $30 million next year.
So, listen, I mean, we're talking about Cam Newton next year in New England. I'm still not convinced he makes it out of camp.
Yeah, let's get to starting A game.
All right, we'll continue with his thoughts on joining New England. He gave a press conference today. All the Patriots quarterbacks did. We'll get back to that and your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports.
Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here. We are all excited to see what week two of the basketball restart has in store for all of us. And if that wasn't enough excitement for you, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is offering you a shot at a share of $1 million every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. You pick 8 players, stay under the cap, that cap's real, and you pile up points for 3-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. But if basketball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy golf action for this week's major as well. Get in on the action before the golfers tee off on Thursday. I might be a little late on that, but still, check out DraftKings for a shot at a $1 million top prize. So, download the DraftKings app now and use promo code SportsHub to get a shot at $1 million in prizes every day this week. That's promo code SportsHub to get a shot at $1 million in prizes every day this week. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. For Sportsbook, okay, and again, for those in New Hampshire, don't forget to place your bets with the DraftKings Sportbook. There will be plenty of different props to keep things interesting while you watch the action go down. But for the sportsbook, you must be 18 years or older, New Hampshire only. If you have a gambling problem, please call 800-522-4700.
Visit the 99 restaurants this Friday through Sunday for the Backyard Barbecue Weekend. Enjoy slow-roasted, fall-off-the-bone apple barbecue ribs, hand-rubbed with their signature seasoning, served with 2 sides, a biscuit, and a sweet treat. This weekend only, the 99, always the real deal.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Obviously, you were kind of hanging out there in free agency for a while. First, several waves of free agency happened, and then the draft happened. And I'm just curious, I know you're a confident guy, but did doubt ever creep into your mind that maybe it's not going to be this season, or maybe it's not going to happen for me at the start of 2020, that I'm going to have to wait into the season, especially as you saw quarterbacks who, I'll say it, are lesser quarterbacks being signed around the league?
Well, honestly, the wait was so long that I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that, you know, a lot of different potentials, you know, didn't kind of creep into your mind. But yet, through it all, I mean, I had an unbelievable supporting cast and, you know, my family, friends, and ones that, you know, kept me straight on the narrow and kept me focused on what I need to be doing. And I use that as fuel. I use that as something, as a constant reminder that, you know, I just need to use these 24 hours and get better, whether either treatment, whether either physically, even mental. I had a lot of time to kind of vent with my children and becoming a better father off the field, and, you know, just enjoying the little necessities that this life has to offer, that, you know, we necessarily get cheated out of because of our commitment to certain things, whether it be whatever profession that we may have. So, yes, you know, when it came to the whole stint, I think any normal person would, you know, have thought this or may have thought that depending on the day. But yet through it all, I think I made it through with a great supporting cast.
Okay, more from Cam Newton today. We continue with your calls. Aldo and Ludlow on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Aldo.
Hey, guys. I just first want to say your chemistry comes through the air and over the TV. Beetle, you do to Felger what you do to Zoe. But I'm just trying to figure out, does Cam Newton not realize that he's in the same boat that Tom Brady was? Belichick drafted Tom because nobody wanted Tom. Belichick took Cam because no one was calling Cam. Does he not realize this, or is it just me?
Well, so what? Cam Newton should recognize that he owes his NFL livelihood to Bill Belichick and owes his NFL existence.
I don't think that's what he was suggesting, though. I think what he's saying is Belichick likes to coach guys who feel slighted or feel or in a position where they have to earn something.
Okay, I also think,
right?
Yeah, true, and I also think he likes players being indebted to him. And I don't know if that's what he was driving at. I mean, I think that's why he loves reaching for players in the draft. You know, without me, you're not being taken to the second round. You're not getting that. You know, I think he gets off on that a little bit. It's all about the control thing, which he's a part of. But Cam Newton does not fit into that box. You know, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, national champion, Super Bowl quarterback. If that's what he's...
No, but that's where he is right now. And that's what I think people need to realize. And what Cam Newton, most importantly, needs to realize.
Do you think Cam Newton does realize it, Beetle?
I don't know. I fear that he doesn't. I fear that he doesn't, because that would mean that this. I don't think it's going to work if he doesn't realize that.
I don't think
it's going to work out.
He's got a pretty high opinion of himself still, and I agree. He needs to realize where his standing is and what he needs to rebuild from the ground up. Mike in the truck on the Bruins. Hi, Mike.
You looking for Frank?
No, I'm looking for Mike in the truck. Is this Frank in the truck?
We'll take Frank.
Frank. I've been called worse. Hey, a couple things for you. One, as far as the Bruins go, when the perfection line starts playing with the depression line, we've got to try to make some changes, even if it's just to ruffle some feathers and then put them back and see if that helps. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. And two, Felger, your mic blows. Hold it like a pizza, babe. See ya.
It's so true. It's so annoying that we can't figure this out. I had the cable company out. I boosted the internet. I have them burying the lines. I guess these lines are not buried here, and they're going to bury it. Like, I'm working on all sorts of crap. I got Dennis on it. I can't figure it out. Pisses me off. But on the Bruins, the lines, I DJ Bean wrote this on NBC Sports and asked Torrey Krug about it. It seemed to imply that the Cassidy tinkering around with the lineup is putting this team in a preseason mode that's hurting them. And I just can't tell you how much I disagree with that. Like, if you're an NHL player and you can't handle being moved up or down the lineup or to different lines, which most every coach does on a regular basis, you don't belong in the freaking league.
Oh, here's an idea. Don't suck when you come back.
Thank you.
Like, don't suck. That wouldn't have been happening if they came out of the gate and played well or looked like they were really engaged. And listen, if they're not, like, there are other world things going on that maybe that's the reason. But if you don't, you know, if you come back and you look engaged, you're not going to have these issues. You're not going to be worried about the lines getting changed up. That wouldn't have happened.
Who are these guys? Like, all of a sudden, Jake DeBrusk is in a position where, you can't be moving me? Screw you. You haven't done nothing. You haven't done anything this year. And who else is he moving around? Kuhlman or Bjork or these guys? Who the hell are you? Shut up and play well. And then, trust me, you'll be happy with your spot in the lineup. I mean, if you want to say, like, always the nuclear option there is to take Pasternak off of that line and give him to Krejci.
I don't love that.
You know, I'm in favor from time to time. I'm not there yet because I still think there's this chance that they're intentionally just playing three-quarter speed, that this is the way they've managed it. So there's no need to demote a guy or move a guy off the first line when the first line is intentionally playing at an exhibition pace. I think that's I don't think that's the right thing to do, but the fact that they're sucking is kind of...
I'm sorry, but the Bruins' mindset is sucked during this whole thing.
Agreed.
That it was about the ice or it was about the age or we're not, you know, they weren't happy with the round robin.
Right.
The league screwed us. I do sort of agree with that. Like, that sucks for the Bruins. I was upset when they announced that it is, you know, the way it is right now. But once it was announced, like, get over it. This is the way it's going to be. You just got to deal with it. And it's at the end of the day, it's three games. It's just three games you had to be concerned with. That was a problem for them, and I think that went right up to the top. That was an issue. Marchand and Krug referring to the age of the roster. Then you heard Marchand on the quality of the ice. Oh, the ice is going to be crap. Everybody's dealing with it. Everybody's in the same boat. And yes, things do suck right now. But everybody that was going to go back and play in the bubble was going to deal with that. And I just think there's sort of this mindset that is impacting them and is leading to them looking the way they're looking on the ice, which, as you said, three-quarter speed. They're just not totally engaged yet. They got to get there fast.
So if you want to criticize Cassidy, criticize him for that. The lineup is...
Well, how about the other night? I mean, you heard Cassidy at the podium after the game say, oh, this sucks.
Right.
You know, this sucks. And then you go to Tuukka, who's like, yeah, it doesn't matter anyway. So if the coach's message is, this is important, It sucks not to be a top seed or to be in contention even for the two seed. That message is not being relayed by the players.
Well, what's even worse is Cassie was sort of bitching about the league's format.
Of course.
The format sucks. So I think their whole mindset has been bad. And, you know, Cassie's in charge of that. Sully in Boston on Cam Newton. Hi, Sully. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Sully.
Go.
Guys, I thought Cam Newton did, like, I thought he toned it down, and I thought the interview was, like, very well today. I thought he did, like a great job, and I think Bill Belichick is going to, you know, not actually, like, cater, but obviously, you know, play to his strengths.
So, look, today he did do a good job today, and it was the Patriot way today. And I thought, like, that's not going to be a problem. That's pretty easy. I don't know, especially in this environment where it's all Zoom calls and there's no live press conferences,
right,
and everything's sort of desanitized. It's going to be real easy for Newton to sit in front of his computer once a week and do 7 good minutes. Like, that's not the problem. The problem is if Belichick rides him, or, you know, things go bad and Belichick has to correct it, how does Newton respond to it? Does it get better or does it get worse? Like, that's going to be the thing. And does he pick up the offense in the first place? And and, you know, I'm sure they'll tailor the offense to him, but they're still going to want him to learn the playbook, Beetle, learn the terminology, and be able to call the plays they want him to call the way they want to have the plays called. Like, that's going to be the issue.
Yeah, and so as far as today goes and the way it sounds when there's, again, nobody right in front of you, it's all digital, blah, blah, blah. I was tied up while it was happening live. I was texting Zoe, and I'm like, Zoe, what's it sound like? What's going on there with Cam Newton? And Zoe said this. I don't know if he said it on the air, but now it's about to be on the air. He goes, he has been neutered. He's now a different guy.
Love it.
That's what Zoe said. And I haven't talked to him about that. If there's a process of the neutering that has gone on, like he went in, you know, like it got neutered and came back out. I don't know. But something's gone on there. He says he's neutered.
Okay. Chris Gasper in the house? I'm not there, obviously, to see.
I don't see him at this moment.
Has he rolled in his Versace mask and Hugo Boss?
I think it's actually a Louis Vuitton mask.
I don't know where he get those masks from, but, man, I have to tell you, they are.
Cam Newton, he borrowed it from Cam.
High fashion masks. Okay, Gasper will be joining us next hour at some point. We'll take an update here for 90 seconds from Tim McCone. There's no commercials. That's the most important thing. And we're back with your calls on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.